Amen. I appreciate that special. I want to ask you, if you would, please take your Bibles and open them tonight to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. I'd like to speak to you tonight about when you pray. It's not a question in the Bible whether or not we will pray, but Jesus expects us to pray. Amen. A lot of people wrestle with the reality of prayer philosophically. If God already knows that we need things, then why should we ask Him for them? And God is sovereign, therefore He's going to have His will accomplished, so why would we bother to pray? There's a lot of philosophical answers that could be given, but I would like to just simply rest on this. Jesus said, when ye pray. And that's really enough for me. I don't understand how the sovereignty of God works, that God's will ultimately is always going to be accomplished, how that works with our prayers, but I know that it does. And God expects us to pray. He wants us to pray. He wants us to fellowship with Him. He speaks to us primarily through His Word, and we speak to Him through prayer. And what an incredible privilege it is that people like us can come boldly into the presence of God through prayer. Let's stand together if you're able. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Heavenly Father, please teach us to pray. Lord, I know that most everyone in this room prays. But Lord, I know we don't pray biblically. So oftentimes we don't pray fervently. So oftentimes we don't pray faithfully. Lord, teach us to pray the right way. Pray that you convict our hearts tonight. And Lord, that this place would be a place of prayer, that our lives would be filled with praying in the Spirit. Lord, that we would have our closet to pray in, that we would be praying constantly without ceasing. And Lord, please just help all of us to be prayer warriors. Lord, that your will would be done in our lives, in your church, in our town, and in this nation and around the world. May your kingdom come and your will be done. We ask that you'd help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, you'll notice that Jesus had a place where he prayed. And Jesus would oftentimes go apart from everybody else to pray, but this time he was in a place and he was praying, and it seems to me clear in the text that when the disciples were listening to Jesus pray, and as they listened to him pray, they said, man, I want to learn how to pray like Jesus. They were amazed at the way he prayed. And they said, we want to learn how to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. And so the Lord does. When ye pray, say. Now, in Matthew's account, at a different time, I believe this was a different time. Jesus taught the same truths repeatedly at different times in different places. So there's repetition, but there's also differences. But we understand that when you pray, pray like this or after this manner. And here Luke says, Jesus said, pray. When you pray, say this. There is nothing wrong with repeating this prayer as your own. There is something wrong with vain repetition. When we just repeat a prayer that we always pray all the time, it just kind of comes out. If that's vain, if it's empty, if it's not heartfelt, if it's not sincere and in faith, then it's worthless. Amen. So it's not about necessarily the words that you're saying, it's the heart behind those words. Now, I've shared with you some of these truths before, but I would like to share with you 11 principles very quickly tonight about how we ought to pray. If you want to write them down, I'm going to share them with you. If you don't write them down, I'm still going to share them with you. But there's 11, so you might want to jot something down. Number one, we ought to pray biblically. We ought to pray biblically. Now, whether you follow this model prayer, I grew up calling it the Lord's Prayer. That's what we called it when I was a kid, the Lord's Prayer. And then people made a big deal out of the fact it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. So now we call it the model prayer or the disciples' prayer. Just to be honest with you, I really don't care what you call it. It's a pattern for which we should pray after. Amen. The Lord is teaching us the way to pray, and we ought to pray biblically. There's a pattern here for us to follow that the Lord teaches us, that we come, we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ought to come before his presence with thanksgiving and praise. We come worshiping him. Your name is holy. So we come with that heart of praise. Then we come in submission. Notice he said, Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. We're not praying to God to get our will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. Amen. Praying is not about you trying to steer God the direction you want him to go. Praying is about you getting in line with what God wants to be done. Amen. And so we're praying in submission to his will. We're praying spiritually. We're praying for his kingdom to come. We want God's kingdom to come. Now listen, there's a lot of ideas about what the kingdom is, but let me just tell you as plainly as I can. The kingdom is the rule and reign of Christ, and that encompasses a lot of things. The kingdom is in you if you're a child of God, because the Spirit of God is inside of you, and he is in you, and his kingdom is a part of you because that's his Spirit, and he rules and reigns over you. You're bought with a price. You belong to him. Obviously, it goes far beyond that. All of the Lord's churches around the world for all time of the church age belong to him. They're part of his kingdom. But there's coming a kingdom when Christ himself will rule and reign on the earth. Amen. That's part of his kingdom. And so when we're praying for the kingdom to come, I don't think it's just some far off thing. We want his kingdom to come right now. We want people to be saved. Amen. We want his kingdom to be in the hearts of more people. We want the Lord's churches to grow and to be established and more churches to be planted. We want his kingdom to come in that way. Amen. And certainly we're looking for and hastening unto the day of our Lord Jesus when he comes again. We're looking for that full and final and eternal kingdom to be established. We pray with submission and with a spiritual focus. We're praying for his will to be done. We pray for our needs to be met. Give us this day. Give us day by day our daily bread. We pray recognizing that God is the one who provides all things. And we pray for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And you'll notice that we pray for God to forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive those who trespass against us. Because if we hold iniquity, regard iniquity in our heart, if we are unwilling to forgive someone else, we will not be forgiven. There's no place for grudges in the church. There's no place for grudges in your prayer life. You will not have an effective prayer life. We pray biblically. We follow the pattern that the Lord has given us, and we pray for him to lead us not to temptation, but to deliver us from evil. So pray biblically. Pray biblically. Proverbs 28:9 says, He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And if you don't want to follow God's word, you're not going to be effective in your prayer life. Pray biblically. Number two, pray persistently. Pray persistently. We're going to spend some more time covering it next week, Lord willing. But in the next section, verses 5 through 8, the Lord gives us this example that we need to pray and we need to have importunity. And that word importunity means we pray and we keep on praying. We don't quit. We keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. God sees how serious we are about something when we continually ask him. If you just ask him one time and you don't think about it again, God knows your heart that you're not serious. But we need to pray persistently, that we continually come to him in prayer. Number three, we need to pray thankfully. Psalm 100 in verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Listen, we don't just come to God like we're going through the drive-thru at McDonald's telling him everything we want. We're there to give thanks and praise to his name. Amen. We pray biblically, persistently, thankfully. Number four, pray faithfully. Pray faithfully. Dear friends, we need to believe God when we pray. Amen. Matthew 21:22, "In all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Let me help you out. If you are praying about something and you don't believe God will answer the prayer, why are you even bothering to pray? Amen. What's the point? Why would you even bother to pray? I told you before about Hudson Taylor when he was sailing to China, how the captain came to his room and he said, "Mr. Taylor, we have no wind. We're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen and I fear they are cannibals." And Mr. Taylor said, "What can I do?" The captain said, "I understand you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." And Hudson Taylor is reported to have said, "All right, captain, I will, but you must set the sail." The captain protests, "Well, that's ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze. If I set the sail, the sailors will think I've gone crazy." But Hudson Taylor insisted, and the man finally agreed. He went up, commanded the sail to be set. 45 minutes later, he came back and found Hudson Taylor still on his knees, and he said, "You can stop praying now. We've got more wind than we know what to do with." Listen, if you're going to pray for wind, set the sail. If you're going to pray for rain, get ready for the rain. If you're going to pray for opportunities to witness, then you better get ready to witness. Listen, friends, we got to pray believing. Pray with faith. We know that we need to pray publicly. We pray as a church corporately, and that's important, but we also must pray secretly. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Listen, friends, if you don't have a time where you get alone with God every day, you will not be effective in your prayer life. We've got to get alone with God. And quite literally, it might be a closet for you. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's on your back porch. Maybe it's in your bedroom. Maybe you have an office at your house or some other room that you can go into. It really doesn't matter. It just means that you need to get away from the distractions. You need to get away from everything else and just you and God do business. Amen. In prayer. When we pray secretly. We ought to pray, number six, with authority. With authority. Not our authority, but his authority. Jesus said in John 14:13, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." There's a reason we pray in Jesus' name. It's not just out of habit because that's what we've grown up and everybody in the church has always done. We ask in Jesus' name because he said to. And that puts his authority behind what we're asking. We want God's authority through Christ in our prayers. We need to pray submissively. Pray submissively. Christ himself, when he prayed in the garden, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Some of you are so bent on getting your will done that you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine submitting to somebody else's will. And friends, that's never going to work in prayer. If Christ himself would pray, "Not my will," how much more should we? Amen. We've got to come to a place of humility where we say, "It's not my will, God. I want your will to be done." Let me just be open with you. There have been many times in my life where I thought I had something figured out. And something came along that went against what I wanted to be done or I thought was right, only to find out later that God had a different plan. It's a foolish thing to try to assert our will ahead of God's will. We've got to pray submissively. We need to pray forgivingly. I mentioned this already, but when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Listen, friends, if you are a human being on this planet, someone somewhere is going to sin against you. They may live in your house. They may be on the pew next to you. They may be on the other side of the church building. They may be somebody else in your family. There may be somebody you work with. It may be your neighbor. It doesn't matter. Somebody somewhere is going to sin against you. And what you need to do is forgive them. And you say, well, you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter. Jesus says to forgive the way that I've been forgiven. They don't deserve it. Neither do you. They didn't ask. They don't have to ask. Jesus never says forgive when they ask. Forgive if they deserve it. He says to forgive. It's not qualified. But it is a qualification for our sins to be forgiven. And listen, I don't know where you live, but in my world, I need forgiveness every day. I can't afford to hold a grudge against you. I thank God that He's given me a short memory. I'm not kidding. I can't remember things. Somebody will bring something up from 6 months ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. I've had people come and apologize to me for something that happened years ago. I have no idea what they're talking about. And sometimes I kind of want to act like I do. Oh, yeah, boy, I've been upset about that. But I can't. I don't remember things. And I thank God for that. I think that's, see, some of you ladies are upset with your husbands and can't ever remember anything. That's a gift from God. It's harder for you ladies because you remember everything. Not just what was said, but how you said it. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Some of you fellas have had that conversation, haven't you? It's not what you said, it's how you said it. They're probably right. They probably remember right. You probably did say the wrong thing in the wrong way. But ladies, doesn't matter how good your memory is, you still have to forgive. Amen. Pray forgivingly. Pray repentantly. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I've got to let go of sin in my life. I've got to let go of sin in my life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We've got to confess. Agree with God. Say the same thing as God does about our sin and turn from it. Confess it and forsake it. That's repentance. I don't understand some people. It seems like they want to come before God and tell God how good they are. Do you believe people when they come up to you or you're in a conversation with somebody and they start telling you how good they are and all the great things they've done? Do you believe them? I don't. Now, if you come up to me and tell me about somebody else and how good they are and how nice they are and how great they've been to you, I believe that. But when somebody tells me how great they are, because I don't want to get political tonight, but I wherever you stand with President Trump, he is his greatest fan. I'm going to tell you, I prayed for that man and I respect his position, but I do not appreciate that. It does me no favors to listen to him brag on what he has done. Now, when he brags on his staff and then the good work that they've done and the military and the good work that they're doing, I can appreciate that. See, it means more. But people who want to brag on themselves, I don't appreciate that. I don't believe it. And guess what? When you go to God and tell God how good you are, he doesn't believe it. He knows better. We've got to come before him repentantly. We need to come before him constantly. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Isn't that good? We ought to always pray and then not quit. Pray. Let me give you your memory verse for tonight. Ready? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That's the kind of memory verse some of you guys like. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, I know. Some of you, your first verse you memorized, Jesus wept. Pray without ceasing. It's a good one to remember. It's an even better one to live by. Number one, biblically. Number two, persistently. Number three, thankfully. Number four, faithfully. Number five, secretly. Number six, with authority. Number seven, submissively. Number eight, forgivingly. Number nine, repentantly. Number 10, constantly. And number 11, fervently. Fervently. I know you think this is an exhaustive list. It's really not. There's more that could be said about prayer, but let me say this. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our prayers need to be effectual fervent. They need to be with purpose and they need to be with passion. Listen, we need to pray fervently. We need to have some passion behind us when we pray. When we are on our knees before God Almighty, we ought to be awed by the fact that we can even come into His presence, and we ought to be serious about what we're praying for, and there ought to be some passion behind our prayers, friends. God knows if you mean business or not. When Jesus prayed in the garden, He was in agony. He prayed even more earnestly. His sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Listen, Jesus was fervent when He prayed. He was passionate when He prayed. You read about Elijah, who he's talking about there in James, who was a normal man, just like you and me. He was no different than any of us. But he prayed fervently, and it didn't rain for 3 years. He prayed again, and it rained. That's a big deal. He believed God, and he prayed fervently. Listen, it mattered how Elijah prayed. Why do you think James is pointing that out? It mattered how he prayed. It mattered that there was fervency, there was passion behind his prayer. Now, you guys know, sometimes when you pray, it's not very serious, not very heartfelt. Is that true? Sometimes you pray, there's not much passion behind it. Quick poll. How many of you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and you half-heartedly ask God to bless it? See, you're not praying with faith. You don't believe God's going to bless that food to the nourishment of your body? That's like praying for donuts. You might as well just tell him thank you, because none of us have enough faith to believe he's going to give us nourishment from a donut. Maybe some of you do. You got more faith than I do. I'm thankful for the donut, Lord. I know it's not going to do me any good, but it sure tastes good. But there's other times you get serious about praying. You get to call somebody you love has cancer. You get to call somebody you love has been in a car wreck. You go to the hospital to see somebody you love that's hanging on by a thread. Somebody that you care about deeply is of the age of accountability, and you know they're not saved, and you pour your heart out to God to save them. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fervency in praying. Friends, we've got to have a passion. We've got to be serious. I needed this tonight. I need to be reminded about how serious prayer is. Amen. It's just common, most of you, good church folk, been in church your whole life, been praying since you were old enough to talk, and sometimes it's not as serious as it should be to us. But we desperately need to learn to pray. And I think it would be good for us to pray just like the disciples did. Master, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's stand together. Invitation time is always a time to respond. You can respond right where you're at. You can come down here and kneel before the Lord. If you've never been born again and you know tonight you need to be saved, please come. Trust Christ as your Savior tonight. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You need to follow the Lord in baptism and serve Him in the church. And friend, every one of us who are saved, we all need to learn to pray better. So if the Lord's convicting your heart, it'd be a good night to start and say, God, help me. Help me to pray the way that I should. Lord, teach me to pray. If there's burdens on your heart tonight, you come while we sing.
Page 559.
559.